Okay, welcome back. And for those of you who have been with us for any length of time, you'll probably remember that of all the major brands of bioweapons that were being forced on the public through psychological terror, trickery, and deception, among other ways, and certainly their job security, the worst one we felt, and Erica was first to say this, was the AstraZeneca shot, in all likelihood. It had so many fatalities and major problems almost immediately after the injection. No question. So today, AstraZeneca has taken their product off the market globally because of what they say are extremely rare, unfortunate side effects. That is the understatement of the generation. That shot was the worst. It was horrific. You there, young lady?
I'm here.
All right. What do we think about AstraZeneca after all these,
you know, they had stopped using it anyway.
Pretty much fully,
several
yes.
of the countries that, you know, had been using it realized that the death rate's a little too high with this one. We better stop using it.
Couldn't hide that. No.
Yeah.
No.
So I guess now it's official.
Yeah. It was, just not to say that they're not all equally as bad, but AstraZeneca was a little bit more flamboyant in how quickly it was killing people.
I think that was it, the speed at which the side effects were experienced.
Well, they're death effects, yes. Here's a little, a new Rents video on this we just put together, and it's an Australian talk show. It's only about 4 minutes or something. But there's a doctor as a guest, an Indian doctor, I assume. He looks like it. And that's not racist either. He just looks like an Indian doctor. But he was trying to obviously, where you hear him, he's obfuscating and covering for himself because he obviously was severely pro-vax, in his words, in the beginning. And now he's still calling it a vax, but he's saying, well, what we knew back then, as if to excuse himself for all the injections he caused to happen. Anyhow, check this out. And the hosts are as dumb as rocks. You'll hear this. Here we go.
Watch this disgusting, vile doctor accomplice to global mass genocide feverishly washing his hands and trying to absolve himself of any responsibility in the deaths and suffering of countless human beings by using trick words and terms like at the time, while still referring to the bioweapon death shots as vaccines. Now watch and I'll be back.
COVID is back in the news and it's got lots of people talking with headlines like this. AstraZeneca admits its COVID vaccine can cause rare blood clots. Now, this is going to worry a lot of people, Dr. Rand. So just bring us up to date. What's going on?
You spoke a lot about the vaccine when it was rolled out, and you've had a bit of backlash on it on social media.
Yeah, one of the places where there has been a lot of debate around COVID vaccines in general has been on social media. Everyone from scientists through to people who've suffered potentially adverse reactions, right through to the abject conspiracy.
What is a potentially adverse reaction regarding blood clots and AstraZeneca? This guy, look at this guy dance. He's really something.
Theories. The news that's just come out has ignited a hell of a lot of discussion. And that's come from, especially from people who have got conspiracy, maybe anti-vax views, who believe now that they were deliberately misled over these vaccines. And I've experienced that backlash directly, and I said...
So he calls it a backlash for people who are recognizing that these are death shots. It's a backlash. Now, this guy's something else. We'll post the video later.
It's been quite distressing, but nothing compared to what the families have been through. But it has been unfair. As a healthcare professional, I worked throughout the COVID pandemic on the front line. I also spoke on screen and online about COVID and about the vaccines, especially as they were launching. And I can say that our job was to get the best information and advice out to the public that we could based on what we knew at the time. And those early stages where we started seeing the reports about those potential clots and adverse reactions, we didn't, based on all the information we had, there was not enough to say that it was down to the vaccines, because those clots happened for lots of other reasons and they weren't happening at a higher rate than we would expect.
No, make a note, Erica. Those clots happen for lots of other reasons.
Yeah, okay.
God, incredible. I got to back that up and listen to it again. This is a good guy, something else.
What's happened for lots of other reasons, and they weren't happening at a higher rate than we would expect at that time.
Weren't happening at a higher rate than we would expect at that time. Okay, all right.
And we've also got to remember that this was on the background of an unprecedented global and evolving pandemic that was killing millions of people at the time.
No one should ever use the term vaccine without qualifying it when talking about COVID. These are 100% bioweapon injections that were conceived, created, and deployed against innocent, trusting men, women, and children, and tens of millions of them are now dead, or they are mortally injured and on the way out. And yes, every person who administered an injection or even recommended one is, at the very least, an accessory to murder or great bodily injury. Did you notice the ignorant, uninformed host letting this so-called doctor skate free by not throwing a single hard science question at him about the AstraZeneca bioweapon? Not even about the monstrously deadly spike protein or shedding. How many lives has he seen ended or massively damaged? And note how this greaseball tries to worm his way out of any responsibility for his role in the deaths of AstraZeneca victims by either giving the injections, ordering them given, or advising people to take them because they are safe and effective. The COVID-injected dead and injured are waiting for justice. The injured shouldn't hold their breath, and the unfortunate dead breathe their last breath because of AstraZeneca. We're now waiting for the other big pharmaceutical poison pushers to come clean. We're not holding our breath. Luckily, we didn't get injected. We knew better than trusting doctors like the one you just saw.
Okay, that's a Rents video. I'll put that up a little bit later. And I wrote it with, I'm just tired of people dancing around reality. We've got to get truthful. I mean, it's a little late. It's like years late, but we've always been truthful. But these people, like these talk show hosts and all of them, I don't care what you look at in terms of entertainment with talk hosts, they're idiots. I don't know one who's well-informed. Of course, they would be fired if they were well-informed and asked the right questions. So that's the game, anyway.
I agree.
What'd you think of that, okay?
What a
creep. I call him a greaseball. That's not racist. He's a greaseball, okay?
Well, you know he's towing the party line.
Oh, of course. Anyway, glad to put this in a little, 3 minutes and 44 seconds. All right.
Yeah, good one.
So we'll put that up a little later. Okay, we have, what do we have here? Let me check the stories I've got noted. Okay, Mike Yeadon. Mike is a real strange character. That's all I can say. He is saying, though, and rightly, anything with mRNA written on it is designed to be harmful. Yeah, I'd go a little further than that, but that's fine. So Mike Yeadon's latest. I haven't played the video, but he's back on track with this statement. That's good. That's good. Did you see Mike on this?
I did not. But yeah, the mRNA, and it was never able to come to market because it was so toxic. It didn't matter what it was used for.
Didn't matter. No. Didn't
matter. It has to be encased in these really, I mean, they're carcinogenic.
LNPs. Yeah.
Yes, positively charged lipid nanoparticles and complex with polyethylene glycol, because if not, your blood will clot instantly, and you'll lose tons of cells. To what end? For what?
Exactly.
And so now they're going to try to use these things for various types of immunotherapies, cancer drugs, and who knows?
Let me see if I can get this Mikey. I want to hear Mike. This is what he has to say here. All right.
I don't even call them the perpetrators because it saves me the difficulty of not knowing who they are. I mean, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Probably the richest people in the world that cluster around events like the WEF and the UN, probably. You know, I don't know. I don't know why they're doing it either. It makes no sense. But they are doing it. And I would say, in order to not have the rest of your lives and your freedoms taken away, don't take any more of these bloody jabs. Anything with mRNA written on it is designed to be harmful. There are no exceptions, right?
That's a powerful statement. We're talking about giving the cattle mRNA.
And the food. And yeah. there are mega factories going up to create mass manufacture of these products. I don't know if our government's done it, but several governments have announced triumphantly, ladies and gentlemen, we've already arrived at terms of an agreement to acquire, you know, the next jabs. And I've looked it up, it's like enough jabs for 10 people, 10 each. It's like, what do you think they're going to do with that? What do you think they're going to do with that?
Yeah.
You know, that's my fear.
Okay, there's Dr. Mike Yeadon, former chief scientist at Pfizer. So he's doing good things. And
oh, he's still speaking out. He's very vociferous. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, what is the point of injecting animals with this stuff? Because, you know, a true vaccine should prevent infection. And all these things do is allow you to tolerate the infection. So we're going to be
really
eating,
an important,
you know,
that's a really important,
well said. That are producing noxious proteins that will end up in their meat, and then you eat the meat and become poisoned, develop, you know, these are probably antigenic proteins of some sort, so that when you eat them, just like gluten, you could develop a hypersensitivity to them or, you know, an outright autoimmune disease.
Exactly. Now, the latest scare on the fear porn side is the avian influenza virus, H5N1, now in meat, in dairy cows, it's in the udders, to be sure it gets into the milk and milk products, like ice cream and yogurt and stuff like that. So they're really setting the stage. I don't know what they're going to do with the H5N1 thing. So far, I think they've said only one person has... been cross-infected.
Right?
A lot of cats, cats going blind, brain-damaged cats, sickening. But yeah, one worker in Texas, and obviously an illegal type, with conjunctivitis, that was it. So we're waiting to see what they're going to do with this. They're claiming that H5N1 is mutated over 300 times now. Who's counting? How much fun can there be? So we'll see. We'll see about that. Okay, anything else on your shelf?
The FLCCC had their weekly webinar tonight, and I was able to catch a bit of it. And again, they're talking about the embalmer clots.
That's 2-3 years old now. Come on, this is not new news, and they're hung up on it.
I was still acting surprised. I guess the surprising thing is, or the shocking thing is that they're extremely prevalent. And they had a new-to-the-scene doctor on tonight, Dr. Philip Triantos from Alabama. He's a radiologist, and he was chiming in with what he's seeing in his radiology practice. And, well, similar to the vascular surgeons, it's just one patient after another with these horrific blood clots. You know, I would contend that they know exactly what these are and why they are forming, but, you know, nobody wants to talk publicly about it yet because maybe there's a treatment.
Oh, they know that they, the creators of these deployed weapons, know precisely what's doing it.
Mm, yeah.
No doubt. None. Sickening.
But yeah, the frequency that they're being reported now is staggering. That's pretty much all his practice. It's just, you know, one patient old.
Go back to the live blood freeze frame from a video showing what appear to be, what were identified as being, little seedlings of clots in the blood.
Yeah.
They were everywhere.
Bigger and bigger and bigger. But, you know, yeah. The other thing is that what, that
this
we're
is
seeing
a fused
a lot of
death.
It, right.
It's, go ahead.
We're also seeing quite a bit of aortic dissections and aortic aneurysms, which indicates...
Better describe what a dissection is, please. There's three layers. This is important.
Yeah, so a dissection is when these layers that are that comprise the vasculature, the blood vessel...
The plumbing, the tube.
The first layer gets a little cut in it, and blood will move into that area, and it can pool and put pressure on the other layers and get bigger, and then the second layer becomes compromised, and at some point it can blow. An aneurysm would just be, you know, a rupture.
Yeah,
but
an
aortic
doesn't
dissection
have to be a
kind
balloon.
Of goes in stages.
Just blow, blows it right out. It
so
builds
that indicates
and builds
that
and
there's,
pumps.
You know, some issue with collagen formation, and you know, another situation where we see that is the use of fluoroquinolones, these fluoroquinolone-type antibiotics like Cipro.
Very dangerous antibiotics, by the way,
yeah,
Cipro.
They are.
Just for you, for those of you who don't know, you don't want fluoroquinolones in your body at all. Not
yeah,
good.
Because they do compromise the body's ability to produce collagen. So you end up with things like tendon rupture, detached retinas, and in worst-case scenarios, these aneurysms and aortic dissections.
That means you're dead,
so,
okay?
Yeah, so you know, it comes down to the activity of the enzyme that's responsible for making collagen. It can't quite finish the job, and it's an iron-dependent enzyme, oddly enough. So there's definitely something going on with iron homeostasis and oxygen homeostasis. These iron-dependent enzymes don't seem to be available to do the job. And I would contend that this dysregulation of iron is participating in the formation of these clots. So, you know, these clots look like a ligament or a tendon. Is the body attempting to heal the endothelium by laying down additional collagen in some bizarre and disordered fashion? There's a lot going wrong. That you know, bottom line is that there's a lot going wrong on a really fundamental level.
It's catastrophic what's going on. I agree. That's bad. Okay, we have... another video here. This is from Children's Health Defense. This is paramedic Harry Fisher. We've featured Harry several times. He's a real pro. He's been at it. He's watched all this. He's got a heart and a conscience. What else can we say here?
Oh, he's been speaking out for some time and you know, constantly being banned, deplatformed, and he's not given up.
I had a note to... Yes, it's obviously taken a toll on him. You can look in his eyes and see it. He has a heart, and it's not easy to do the work paramedics do under any circumstance or any professional conscientious healthcare worker. It just you can't absent yourself from grim suffering and agony and anguish that is taking people out.
Right.
Somebody wrote today, and I'll have more on this. A friend lost his wife after a horrific struggle with turbo cancer and ended up being just a skeleton, basically. Horrible. Anyway, the mortician involved was asked about the number of cancer victims that are coming through the door, so to speak. And the mortician said, it's bad. And the person asking the question said, what, 10, 20, 30% more, 60% more? And the mortician said, no, exponentially bad. In other words, it's through the roof. And you're not hearing this on the mainstream media, friends. I guarantee it. You're not hearing it anywhere except here. It's bad. People are dying of cancer, not of COVID. At least that's what the birth and death certificates end up as a deadly duo. When you look at the death certificate, you won't see COVID on there. You'll see natural cause. You'll see cancer. You'll see all kinds of things. But cancer deaths are obviously soaring, and it's being hushed up, according to a professional mortician. So doesn't get more straight away than that. All right, here's Harry Fisher. And I guess I could just sum it up by saying, if you, and I know most of you don't, listen to the mainstream commercial media, you will be led into a pseudo-reality that bears little resemblance to what's really going on all around you on this planet. You'll be lied to, deceived, and ultimately, if you keep watching it, you'll be programmed into incompetence in terms of realizing and assessing what is happening. All right, here's Harry Fisher. I got it ready. Okay.
I'm a paramedic. I've been EMT since 97, medical field, Army, Air Force, paramedic since 2012, 2013. I've worked ambulance, ER, ICU, and I've been doing contracts pretty much since the start of COVID. Worked from Oklahoma, New York City, North Dakota, all the way up to Alaska.
I'm a paramedic that's done CPR in a Pfizer line. I've tried to warn the public about it for a long time now. Something else we're seeing we're being utilized for as paramedics is to go get patients from hospitals that need transfers home. So many patients now are requiring transfer home for hospice care that are young, dying of aggressive cancer. Some people are calling it turbo cancer. I was talking to a patient, and they knew they were dying, and they knew that the shots are what caused it. It is very difficult to talk to someone, a young patient, that knows they've been murdered by a bioweapon, by these shots. Talking to murder victims, it's insane. It's sad. It's very difficult. That's the world we live in now. God bless.
You were saying that the age is quite young. Did you see this kind of young age group coming through in all your years of experience before the jab?
No. Whereas you might go your entire career not being called to an under 14-year-old stroke, now I've seen enough of that for a lifetime since the jab. And here's one experience I had. I got called to a playground at a school. And I was already asking, because I did CPR in a Pfizer line initially, which started ringing bells at the start of all of this. I was being told this substance was safe, safe, safe. And I got called to a Pfizer line where someone had died after taking their shot. And the nurse said, this is the second one in 2 weeks. So my red flags were just going off all over the place. But still, it took a while longer for me to really just start understanding that it was the shots, because it was drilled into me that they were safe. I've been in the medical field a long time, and vaccines were supposed to always be safe. And inevitably, my patients were getting younger and younger and younger, and I started asking at an early time, have they taken any of these shots? Have they taken any of these shots? Any of the Pfizer, Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson? Whereas most people in the medical field were not asking those questions, especially medics. They weren't asking those. We're supposed to do a really good health history exam. And when we show up, I need to know what you take, what kind of medical history you have. Are you on any new medications? Well, it's so indoctrinated in us that the vaccines aren't really a medication. It's nothing to worry about, that people weren't asking about. They just weren't. But I would say, have they taken any? Well, this is just one instance, but it should raise alarms for everybody. And it should. But I showed up to a person who was playing kickball on a playground. 911 call, very young, under 14, young, considerably, playing kickball. Complete left-sided paralysis, thunderclap headache right before the paralysis, unable to speak being very, very slurred. Stroke symptoms. I mean, they were having a textbook stroke. And the parents had shown up, and I was asking the parents, you know, health history, medical history, like I always do. And I kept saying, do they take any medications? No, healthy, healthy, healthy. And I said, well, have they taken any of these shots? Well, what shot? You know, the new vaccines, these new vaccines. Well, yeah, just had their second Pfizer shot not long ago. And that's a biggie. And it all went in my report, which is now probably in the piles of the other reports that are never going to be looked at. Called the patient in as a stroke, got to the hospital, and the parents were denying the whole time that it could even be the possibility of the shots, which I wasn't forceful about it. You don't want to be mean. They're going through a traumatic time, and there's a child that's hurting. So I'm not there to argue with them. I'm there to take care of the patient and hopefully help save the patient. But we started seeing a lot of things like that I would have never seen in my career. What really, really, really is hard to wrap your head around is whenever you go online and you try to say, hey, I'm a paramedic that not only did CPR and a Pfizer line, but I'm seeing these young strokes, young heart attacks, and there's young people dying. And it's after taking this new substance. And then they take you down or remove you or send through your video just trying to warn people. That's a scary existence to live in. That's a spooky place to be as a medical professional, because that means I'm not allowed to give you consent, and they don't want me to give you consent. Whoever they is, I don't know who they is. If I knew who they was, I would be on their doorstep asking them why they're doing this. But I don't really know who they is at this point.
Harry, what about turbo cancer? You mentioned turbo cancer, that's what we call the cancer following the shot. What kind of thing have you seen there?
The last one that I ran, they were young, and they experienced headaches for a couple of weeks. Went in because the headaches were like migraine headaches, and they ended up scanning their head and finding a tumor. I mean, it was a very aggressive tumor that just came on and was stage four seemingly immediately. And then they're not lasting long. They'll be stage four and then they'll die sometimes weeks, but mainly months later. It's killing people at a rapid pace.
And you're seeing this in the young, the turbo cancer in the young age group as well?
Young age group, mid-age group, old age group. The old age group seems to be, I don't like saying this because I really care about all age groups, but the old age group is going completely unnoticed because they're easily passable. Most people are like, oh, the old die all the time.
You know, Harry, what happens when you speak to your supervisors or you know, your colleagues? What do they? They must be seeing the same thing.
I was in a meeting. I put a video out a few days ago, actually explaining that I was in a meeting with providers, medics, and nursing staff, and all of us in that meeting. This is one of the first times I've had where all of us in the meeting agree that we're up against something that's really bad, that's harmful, and killing people. And then when corporate comes in, if corporate comes in, we are either having to be quiet because corporate will terminate you. I mean, it's most of the people on the ground that I talk to do not disagree that they won't take the shots anymore, that they don't advocate for the shot, but I would say well over 60% or more are too afraid to be vocal about it because they don't want to lose the job they currently have. They've already been forced to take something they didn't want to take out of fear of losing their jobs. They definitely don't want to lose their jobs now over speaking out against what the suits want them to stay quiet about. That's what it seems like. Seems like they're just too scared to talk.
And what about the parents of the injured or the loved ones of the injured? On the whole, do they know it's the vaccine, the shot, or are they just don't want to go there?
Some do, most don't want to go there.
Let me just pause for a minute. This brings up the whole psychology of how the genocide is being underwritten. It's being underwritten two ways, by fear and then by denial. What parent would want to confront the thought that they had authorized injections into their child, their son or their daughter, or plural, that is killing them? One out of 10? Nah. One out of 20, 30? Maybe. No one wants to go there. That's called denial. And if your own life is being destroyed, you certainly don't want to go there. That's just human nature. That the planners of this knew. They knew psychology. They knew what would happen. They didn't need AI to run the game plan. They knew exactly how this was going to play out.
Won't even. I liken it to like whenever I run abused patients, someone who's been beat by their spouse, which we've seen a lot of that, especially since the lockdowns and everything else, a lot of abuse. It ran rampant. I would say it was a pandemic of abuse more than it was a pandemic of COVID. But
now that's very interesting, Harry. He's calling it a pandemic of spousal abuse. He didn't say spousal, but abuse. And that's interesting. That's suggestive of a lot of things, not just being locked down. It's suggestive of people being vaxxed and going through, which often is the case, apparently, from what we've heard. You've heard it right here as well. People being very nasty, aggressive, mean-spirited, and that'll trigger a lot of things in the home that you'll never hear about. So, interesting. A lot of abuse. All right. Want to add anything to that?
No. Keep going.
To abused patients. They've been beaten up, been harmed by a system, a daddy government or a husband government or a wife government, and they won't blame it on who's doing it. Like, if you try to push the issue, they'll literally shoot the messenger rather than be angry at the abuser. It's almost like Stockholm Syndrome meets Munchausen by proxy.
Good.
Harry, what do you want our viewers to do? Is that, what do you recommend that we do to stop this, to warn people? Because we're all censored on social media. But what's your advice? Because we've got to get the word out. And thank you for being so brave and talking about it.
I think CHD is doing wonderful work, but that's not a very good question. We've been confronting this for 4 years now, and those of us who are aware and understand, and that's a lot of people, a significant number of people. What can we do? All we can do is what we're doing, because they won't allow it. We're censored online. Social media will censor you. You know it. It's not on the mainstream media, and the alt news has taken over and controlled, and they're throwing out graphene oxide bullshit and all kinds of other things to further confuse the whole panorama of this crisis. And they're doing a very good job of it. When you own the media, you can do almost anything. So, I mean, it's an understandable question, but what's he going to say? Let's find out. Maybe he's got a new slant on it.
Plant seeds with the ones that you can tell can't see, because some people out there are refusing to see their abuse. So treat them like an abused patient. Plant seeds, plant good seeds. Don't be harsh with them. Do what you can. And then also speak as much as you can to as many people as you can, because they've censored with this technology us getting the massive word out here. But what they haven't been able to do yet is stop us from talking to people, from texting our friends, from texting our neighbors, from sending out emails, until they've completely wrapped us up in this digital world that I wouldn't have known about when I was a kid. And they stop us from texting, emails, and they stop us from talking completely. I would say you do everything you can in those avenues to save people, because right now you could be the difference between life and death of your friends, loved ones, and neighbors.
He's 100% right, and that's why we're here, to help people individually understand what they're up against and maybe encourage them to, if not send this program file to somebody, just to talk to people, because that's all we have left. Forget the Internet as a source of reaching. We're not going to be allowed that kind of reach ever. It won't happen. So good on him. Anything to add to that? I think he's doing really well.
That's all you can do is keep talking.
Right.
You know, maybe, I just go back to the beginning of this pandemic and trying to warn people about the shots. And, that didn't go too well.
Yeah. No, I think
people's minds, the brainwashing is so thorough.
It's incredible.
That it's virtually impossible to persuade somebody that's already made up their mind. You know, there has to be a little sliver of doubt, and then maybe you have a chance.
And if you hear the door shut, stop.
Yeah,
just
move
stop.
just move on.
Next. Next. That's all you can do.
Harry, have you seen the difference between Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson? Have you seen more of any particular shot, or was it just a mix of them all?
A mix of them all, but I would say Pfizer, just because the places that I've been at predominantly pushed Pfizer, but I've also seen bad things with Moderna. I've seen fewer people that say they've taken AstraZeneca. I believe it's probably because of the places that I've contracted to or been, that was the major one that they were pushing at the time. As far
most importantly, is AstraZeneca was never a frontline offering here. They used it in Europe and in the UK. It was a UK company, but it just wasn't available.
But they did
here.
Have trials here. There are people,
yes,
the U.S.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Johnson & Johnson, I've seen very few people that took Johnson & Johnson. They demonized that one, or they went against that one at an early time and started pushing. It's almost like they gave it's almost like they gave three options just so they could give three options and blame one at the start, and these are good. It's almost like doing the cup when the ball's really, you know, under all three cups, or, you know what I mean? It was very strange. So I don't trust any of the brands at this point. I personally won't take another vaccine ever. You could take my job away. You could, if you're going to lie to me about one huge thing like this, it's very difficult for me to trust you. And I work in the system. I love the people working in this system, but I don't trust what's occurring.
Have you picked up any people who did not take the COVID shot? Have you spoken to them, how they were treated? Because we're getting reports about the people who did go to the hospital because they were panicking because they thought they had that oxygen thing on their finger. They were panicking. They went in. And their loved ones tell us they never came out. They were vented and, in their words, killed. So you probably wouldn't be picking them up. But my question is, did you pick up anyone with turbo cancer or strokes or any of these new conditions that had not taken the COVID shot?
As of now, I haven't picked up anyone in the younger age groups that haven't taken the COVID shot that were having heart attacks or strokes. I haven't seen anyone that was unvaccinated having those. I would say the biggest thing I've seen is new onset seizures out of all of it. We had a really big rush after the kids started getting vaccinated of these new onset seizures. We've had seizures. I mean, that's nothing new. I've ran kids having seizures. Febrile seizure, I would say, would be the main one throughout my career that you would run. But we were starting to run these, you know, high school aged kids to, you know, middle school aged kids that were previously healthy. And there were some days I was running two or three a day to these schools, which is just way out of the norm. And they were vaccinated because I would ask. As far as unvaccinated, no, they've seemed to be the healthier crowd. As far as the venting goes, they use that like it was unvaccinated people dying. I was working New York City ICU, holding the hand of a person that was dying on a vent of what they said was COVID, while the TV was telling me, I believe it was Biden at the time, saying you don't die of COVID if you get your shot or vaccine or whatever he said. This person was vaccinated and dying. And so, sadly, there's so many lies that the TV was telling. And you weren't allowed to go on and try to say that. I've even made that video probably 50 times on TikTok, and it gets deleted every time. Like, I can't. I've gone on so many times to try to explain, and it gets shut down.
Harry, how can people follow you? I think people are going to want to follow you because it's so brave, and that's one thing I'd like you to answer. And also, finally, aren't you afraid?
You can find me on X, where you found that video. I'm still on TikTok. I don't believe we should fear. Yes, I have moments, but we either keep doing what's right or we get scared and go lock ourselves away. And I would prefer to utilize my constitutional arm up. Keep talking.
Okay, Harry, good job. Really good job. He made the point that I was trying to make, that forget the internet, you're going to get shut down if you start bringing up big truths, if you start making a difference. And he's right. It's up to you out there to do it. And you have to find the people who are might have a little bit of an opening that you can get to and talk to them. Get two or three signs of importance that are perhaps on video that you can share with them. You can certainly share these programs with them. They're there for you for free, and we urge you to do that. But otherwise, we're troubled. We're troubled people. We have no real future. Not in the face of this. This is a killer, and it's terrible.
Yeah, I agree. Going to lose a lot
okay.
of people.
We already have.
We already have. You're right.
All of you listening have known people who are gone now, I'm sure. It's that bad. And it's worse than that because, again, cause of death on the death certificate, you'll never see or rarely see COVID. And I think that what the woman wanted to ask Harry was, are you seeing unvaccinated people showing these symptoms? I think what she was trying to say without maybe realizing it was, are you seeing people with the virus who are showing these symptoms, strokes, heart attacks, and so forth? We do suspect the virus itself, the COVID bioweapon virus, is fully capable of manifesting all kinds of catastrophic health issues in the body.
Yeah, it's a nasty virus. You know, I knew people who had it back in 2020. You know, none of them died, but it was bad, and they were left with lingering symptoms. So the virus is real. You know, it's easy to say it's just a flu, but the thing is, it's new, and we don't know what's built into it. And we were seeing now that it causes brain shrinkage. And that doesn't sound like just a cold. So, you know, you still have to have a fair amount of respect for this thing, because we don't know everything about it.
If you happened to be listening last night and heard David Oates, who was hit with the virus, the bioweapon virus, 2 months ago now, he's still not close to being back to normal. And now the psychological aspect of having been infected and perhaps still infected in the sense that we know this bioweapon does to people, with spike lingering, spike doing damage, and all the other aspects of it. He's beginning to say that when he sits down at the desk, he doesn't even feel like working. He's utterly fatigued all the time, which is, again, another hallmark. But the psychological aspect of it, now you could argue that it's coming from having no energy, but I think it's more to it than that. So David is very sick still after 2 months of getting the virus.
Yeah, some people, it lingers.
It gets them around the neck and won't let go. Okay,
right.
Let's jump over to our human chronicles of people who are suffering. We've got five shedding pieces here in a thread. So let's why don't you go ahead
or
and start
about,
with that.
Let's do this unvaxxed horrors.
Oh, I see it there. I missed it. All right, go ahead.
Okay, how screwed is our healthcare system? My whole immediate family refuses the vaccine. For 4 years, we have been fighting the system to keep the spike protein out of our veins. On the 14th of April, my father was rushed to the hospital in the RFD service plane from Uluru to Alice Springs Hospital. The discovery was a dissecting aorta. It was touch and go because it could bust, as it had torn in four places, but not through the outer wall, creating a hematoma from the heart to his bowel. We were all
phoned. Hold on. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Four different
sure
places. It got into the wall. It began to degrade and literally tear open the arterial wall, which was three layers deep, to keep it simple. And this guy had a hematoma, which is a bleed, obviously, from the artery in his heart all the way down his abdominal cavity to his bowel. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. Okay, she continues. We were all phoned to come to Adelaide as soon as possible to say goodbye as he was transported to Adelaide Royal Hospital by RFD service once stable. We all arrived in Melbourne and said our goodbyes. Well, guess what? He survived and was on the mend. Our great healthcare system were giving him 22 tablets a day. Dad was complaining about how they were making him feel in his stomach. They ignored my father, said everything was okay. He said he had a loss of appetite and burning sensation in his stomach.
We don't thing. We don't know if the 22 tablets were all the same thing. It's highly unlikely. I think that's a general daily dose they were giving him of all sorts of things. Just in case you were wondering, we don't know. Go ahead. Thanks.
I flew back to Cairns last Friday thinking everything was going to be okay. Then on Saturday evening, my father had a bleed in his bowel movement, and he said he didn't feel good. He thought it was coming from his stomach. It took the doctors till Wednesday to organize to put a camera down and cauterize it to stop the bleeding. My father is on blood thinners and lost a lot of blood to the point he was required to have a blood transfusion. The hospital doesn't keep segregated blood from vaccinated people and unvaccinated people, so it's a 50-50 chance. My stepmother is O positive. My father is A positive. The hospital wouldn't allow her to give him blood. He has to have blood from the Royal Adelaide Hospital. So now, after keeping those bastards away from our family, we don't know if he will be injected with spike protein. Our healthcare system is really effed up this time. And if they do give him spike protein and he gets sicker, no one will take accountability for it. The hospital only accepts blood donors from vaccinated people. The 22 tablets were causing him a stomach ulcer. But the doctor told my father this was due to stress, not the 22 medications they were giving him. We know aspirin causes stomach ulcers if given too often. Moral of the story, if you are a pureblood and you need to have a blood transfusion, they will either give you the option to die or take vaccinated blood. So either way, they end up getting you in the end.
Well, sickening. This arterial dissection, in 20 seconds...
Aortic dissection.
I beg your pardon. Aortic dissection is caused in 20 seconds... by what mechanism, primarily? Do we know exactly?
Well, yeah, it's the dysfunctional collagen. It's okay. It's not healthy. The lining of the vasculature is not strong enough to withstand the pressure, so it starts to tear.
Diminishing of collagen, and it starts to it makes it
collagen
strong
is
or
supposed
robust,
to be
so it breaks
cross-linked
down. Okay.
In a particular way.
Right.
So that it has some tensile strength, but you know, as I said, this process seems to be going awry. There's something going on with probably collagen production, and then you've got the inflammation. You've had things that are literally eating away.
Yeah, important. That, remember, collagen prevents wrinkles. It is, she used the word tensile. Okay, it's strong. It's like a lattice work. Under the skin or in the skin. And when that goes away, when you lose collagen, wrinkles show up. Now, the same thing with all these people saying they look 20 years older in 6 months after getting the shot or less. The collagen goes. And they've got wrinkles and sags and all kinds of things. So I didn't know collagen was involved with aortal tissue. That's very interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. And also tendons, as I said, you know, when there's a problem with collagen synthesis, the tendons are compromised. So you can have a tendon rupture. You'd be walking or something and running. Right. Usually it's an explosive type of exercise. And it'll just tear.
So many people who have taken the shots.
Retinal detachment is another
one. Complain about aging. Aging. Yes, collagen may be involved with so many things. I hadn't thought about this at this level.
Yeah, and you need iron and copper in the right place at the right time to have these processes happen as they should. And we know iron is really dysregulated, and eventually copper becomes dysregulated too. So you've got two reactive metals that can do a lot of damage when they're not mm-hmm. bound on their proteins. It's very difficult to fix when you're in an inflamed state.
How do you fix it?
You've got this foreign protein running around the body that's disrupting those mechanisms of regulating those metals.
Okay, very good. Well, the collagen thing needs to be looked at more closely. That's a big one. That could be the root cause of this dissection problem, among other things. The aging certainly is obvious. That would be a cause. Okay, let's try and do these shedding things real quick. I haven't been on for a while, but I got to say, talking about a particular board, social media, I haven't been on for a while, but I got to say, I can't believe this crap is still going on. I'm sick of dealing with the consequences of this every moment of every day. I didn't take it, but I have to live with it because my neighbors did. Yet they seem perfectly fine, other than the orange faces, bloated bodies, and the terrible stench they are emitting. And the next one, someone says, I've noticed this. Smells are getting worse in Australia. I walked into a supermarket and one man was so strong that I was dry reacting. I told the lady who served me and another worker looking at me that I can smell the vaxxed. They were both mortified, and the shock on their faces as they have both had the jab too. I feel bad, but I'm struggling with the smell and with shedding. Go ahead. Finish it up.
She continues, I can't understand that they cannot smell themselves either. It's just mind-blowing. I have asked many unjabbed people if they smell it, but they can't either. We are special and unique. I wish I couldn't smell it. And let's see. The smell is beyond something I never smelled in my entire life. My husband can smell roses, but cannot smell the chemical smell on vaxxed people. That smell immediately makes me feel nauseous and unwell. I think he's so lucky that he does not smell it. I talked to another non-vaccinated person about the smell, and he says he does not smell them. So people that do not smell the vaxxed are lucky. And let's see, one more. Okay, two more. I've been smelling the metal flakes odor lately when I pass them on the street. Sometimes they smell like stale, dirty laundry. Same here, rusty metal, poor, and chemical softener, and rotten corpse. The worst smell I've never, ever smelled. So, again, I this is a sensitivity thing. Unless you've been poisoned by this stuff, you likely haven't hit the threshold where you'll be able to smell it.
Interesting note about these little vignettes. One person can smell roses fine, but can't smell the vaxxed. Now, that would argue against, to a degree, of simply being hypersensitized in an olfactory sense and smelling the vaxxed.
No, it's specific
and everything
to the poison.
Else.
Yeah, it's specific to the poison.
It's, that,
like
that's
I said,
the point,
I don't want to keep harping on it.
No, we want to make
but
that point
it's
clear,
it's the release
though.
Of the heme breaking down, releasing the carbon monoxide. The carbon monoxide is the sensitizing, agent, in a sense.
Right.
So every
right.
time it encounters that, you're going to get that reaction. It amplifies the sensory stimulus.
Got it. So when we say hypersensitized, it doesn't mean for everything. I just want to make that clear. Because that, it was
But it can expand. It starts with one thing, but it can expand to other things so that you're sensitive to all kinds of things, chemicals, touch, smell, light.
Got it.
And then you get into something called central sensitization syndrome. And some of the vaxxed injured do have that.
Mm-hmm.
And that would make life just a living hell to get to that point.
I couldn't imagine. No, I've only smelled it three times, and that was three times too much. Not good. All right. Well, we served up a lot. Good job.
Okay, Jeff. My
Talk
pleasure.
Soon.
Good night, everyone.
We will be back with more in just a few minutes. Hold on.